of the auditorium. Dear Lord, we thank you for this morning and ask you to watch over us throughout this hour. Ask as this money is given to go throughout your church to do your work. In Jesus' name we pray.
See? We would welcome you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Betty Stewart handed us a card that she would like to have us read. It says, "For our dear friends and church family, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciated your friendship and love, and I'm glad you have each other to always count on. Dear church family, thank you for all your cards, visits, flowers, phone calls to support me through my hard times. Love, Betty." This morning, we have Caleb bringing our invocation, Caleb Postlethwaite, and I'm Elder Alan Owings, and we are blessed to have 70 Tim Canfield bring our message, and Teacher Glenn Hughes will bring our benediction. Today is a special day. Dan wanted me to be sure and remind you that this is our anniversary, that 3 years ago we met for the first time on Sunday, March 15th, 2009, and there were 24 people present. And then Wednesday of that year, on the 24th, there were 27 people who met to form our branch. And then on July the 26th, we voted on our name, Saints Haven. And we've been blessed each year to have 70 Tim Canfield be with us on our anniversary. Our scripture this morning comes from section 12, starting with of the Doctrine and Covenants, starting with 1a. "A great and marvelous work is about to come forth among the children of men. Behold, I am God, and give heed to my word, which is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, to the dividing asunder of both joint and marrow. Therefore, give heed unto my word. Behold, the field is white, already to harvest. Therefore, whoso desires to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might, and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the name is called of God. Therefore, if ye will ask of me, ye shall receive. If ye will knock, it shall be opened unto you." Would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 225, "The Church is One Foundation." When somebody starts.
The Church is One Foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord. She is His new creation by water and the Word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He bought.
And Kind Grace, Heavenly Father, I'd like to thank you first for the many blessings you've given us, Lord, and for this beautiful morning that we've had to meet together. Lord, I'd invite your spirit to be with us this hour, that it might minister unto us and prepare our hearts to receive those words that you've given our brother to share. Lord, I'd ask that you'd be with us and help us, that even though we've come to hear your word, that we will take it into our lives and share it with others, that we might not be hearers only, but that we might be doers of the word, and that we might be able to put those things into practice in our lives, that we might be able to bring others to you and share that joy that's within us, Lord. I'd ask these things in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I've had a little bit of a cold for a couple of weeks, so I might sound a little hoarse, but I brought cough drops, I brought Kleenexes, and I brought water, so hopefully with the Lord's good spirit I'll get through this hour. I'm going to open with a scripture that's familiar to all of us from the second chapter of Luke. I'm going to start at verse 25. I guess I need to get my glasses on too. I'm just falling apart, the older I get. And behold, there was a man at Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, even Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let us thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of all thy people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of the child. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word is my prayer.
Because
is your hand and your brow. Those were my thorns, those were my scorns, those were my tears that fell down. And just as you said it would be, you did it all for me. And after you counted the cost, you took my shame. Those were my hands, that was my crown, that pierced your hair.
It is my hope that the things that we do this morning will bring praise and honor and glory to our Heavenly Father and be a strength and a benefit to each one of us. Thank you, Katrina, for that song. That was beautiful. I think I'd rather listen to her than me the rest of this hour. You know, my mind seems to be racing with a lot of thoughts, so I hope that I can convey them in a chronological or meaningful way. You know, we're used to hearing that scripture probably more often at Christmas time, speaking about the birth of Jesus. You know, it seems to be the Christian phrase during that time that Jesus is the reason for that season. Well, Jesus is the reason for all seasons, not just Christmas time. So some of the things I'm going to share with you today, we might think about Christmas, but it really isn't just Christmas. I think we can apply them each and every day or contemplate them in that way. It was a few months ago that either somebody read that scripture or maybe I was reading it myself, but that phrase, the consolation of Israel, stuck out in my mind. And I kind of thought, you know, that's, we all know they're talking about Jesus. That's just one of the many names that are synonymous or that are attributed to the name of Jesus when we hear that. So what we're going to talk about today is those different names of Jesus. But you know, the consolation of Israel, when I was a kid in grade school, oftentimes we'd have contests, whether in gym or some subject with a test, and the teacher would often give out a prize. Well, you know, you think of that as the first place prize. You know, you won the contest, whether you finished first, had all the right answers, or did something in gym that you were supposed to do, and you know, you felt pretty good about yourself. And sometimes the teacher would give everybody else what they call the consolation prize, so that they would feel not left out, that they felt like they were a part of it, and they weren't losers, but you know, that they got something for their efforts and for their try. And I thought, you know, that doesn't really fit here, what's talking about Jesus. He's not the consolation prize. He is the prize. He's the grand prize. He's the mark of the high calling that we should aim for. He's the one that we should model our lives after, that we should follow his example. You know, know, so I looked up the word of the definition word of consolation, and it said in the, I have one of those 1828 dictionaries that gives the Christian definition to the words, the ones that when our founding fathers and those before them used words, that's what they meant. And today we've seen to change some of those definitions or taken out some of those Christian values to them. It says, it's the alleviation of misery or distress of mind, that which is comparative degree of misfortune, springing from any circumstance that abates the comforts or refreshes the spirit. Happiness and distress are evil, or supports and strengthens in the mind as hope and joy and courage and so forth. That, to me, talks about Jesus. You know, Simeon, being the high priest and a Jew, had this hope that the Messiah would come and relieve the Jews of all their oppression, especially at that time who were the Roman Empire, and that they would set up, and that God would set up the kingdom among them, because they were the apple of his eye. They were the chosen seed. They were the ones that the Lord dealt with. But we know in the Acts, the first chapter and the third verse, it says Christ is speaking to them about those things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And in verse 6, it says that those, when they were therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will at this time now restore again the kingdom to Israel? So see, they even missed the mark of what Jesus taught them and what he shared with them, that he told them that the kingdom was already among them, that we have it when we accept him and make that covenant relationship with him. We have the kingdom within us. And he gives us all the helps and the governments, the avenues, the witnesses, the assurances to be successful when we apply ourselves to those principles and to those laws. But I want to talk about the name of Jesus specifically, and all those names that we associate with him. You know, me and my wife first got married and started our family, we used to have evening devotions where we would read scriptures and pray together to teach them how to do that. And we would sing songs with them. And one of the children's songs, at least that's how I look at it, it may not be a children's song. Some of you may still sing it today. I've heard it for ministry of music often. Is that a song that says, Jesus' name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living Word. There's some of the names that are associated or contributed to Jesus. What is in a name? You know, my legal name is Timothy Scott Canfield. I don't know why my parents chose that name. There's nobody else in our family named Timothy. Maybe they wanted to be different. Maybe they picked it because it's a book in the Bible. I don't know. But I go by different titles within different circles of life. Within my family, I'm called Dad. I'm called a brother. I'm called a son. In church life, I'm called a priesthood member or a 70. In my professional, I'm known as a mailman or a brick mason. You know, so I have many titles or many names myself, as each of you do. You know, when Kelly and I were expecting our firstborn, we wanted to name our children something different and unusual, something that wasn't as common as many of the other names. So our first daughter, his name was Jenna, which wasn't as common back then, but it's becoming more common. But we picked her middle name to name after Kelly's biological mother. Her mother's name that, who had died, committed suicide. Her middle name was Marie, and so we wanted to name Jenna Marie, after her mom. And so when our second child was coming, we found out that it was a girl. We wanted to, again, name her something unusual, so we named her Alyssa. Wasn't all that common, but it's becoming more common. And her middle name is June, after my mother's middle name. And of course, when Andrew came along, we wanted to name him after something in the Bible. And so we named him Andrew, one of the apostles of the Bible. And of course, his middle name is Victor, which is after my dad's middle name. You know, parents often discuss between themselves what to name their children. And they may have had a family member or a close friend or a hero of the scriptures or whatever that they pick that name sometimes and name their child after. You know, if I was to name mention the name of Abraham Lincoln, we have certain thoughts that we attribute to the accomplishments and what he stood for. Or George Washington, or Adolf Hitler, Napoleon Bonaparte, Gandhi, Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Joe Montana, Tiger Woods, Lou Gehrig, Muhammad Ali. We can name a bunch of these names, and we all know what we associate with them in their particular names. Some were presidents, some were dictators, some were inventors, some gave us things in technology, some were the best in their particular sports. These people gave us freedoms and rights. Some showed us how power corrupts. Some showed us the problems of the world. Some have made our lives more comfortable and convenient. And some have entertained us. But you know, those names, when they were given to them at birth, those things weren't credited or ascribed to them. They were after they led their lives and the things that they did in their lives. So Jesus, who is he? And why should we give him our attention and our devotion? In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, in verse 1 and 2, it says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And in Isaiah, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse, it is a prophecy about the coming of the Lord that we recognize. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." When, for those of you that have read your scriptures, was Jesus, other than this verse that I've read, ever been called Wonderful? I could not find anywhere in the scriptures that he was called Wonderful. Though we know that the things that we consider the Lord has done for us, the promises that he has given to us, we attribute to him to be wonderful. I mean, the things that he has done for us are wonderful and marvelous. And the things that the promises that lay before us are still wonderful and marvelous to us. But when was Jesus ever called Wonderful? Well, I'm going to read a testimony to you, one that's probably familiar to some of you, maybe not all of you. This is a testimony by T.T. Hendricks. He lived up in the St. Joe area. And he says, "In 1884, at the General Conference, which was held in Stuartsville, Missouri, among other leading men of the church present at this conference was Apostle Jason W. Briggs. He came over to my house several times and told me about some of the conditions that existed in Nauvoo. He got me to doubting a little bit about some of the things of the reorganization. And I got to the point where I thought I would make it a subject of prayer. For the Lord knew I wanted to do right and be with the right people. Sometime after the conference was over, I had the following dream. I was at the Maple Grove Church and was to preach there at the 11 o'clock hour. While I was on the platform, getting ready to open the meeting, the door on the east side opened, and Brother Joseph Smith III walked in, accompanied by another man. A stranger to me, this was a pleasant-looking man, about middle age. I walked up to the prophet and said, 'Well, Brother Joseph, I'm glad to see you have come. You're just in time to give us a good sermon. We're all glad to see you.' Now, I had been associated with Brother Joseph quite a good deal, and knew he lost no time in introducing his friends to each other. So this stranger stood behind him, and Joseph did not say a word about him, was strange to me and out of character of Joseph. As the prophet walked down the aisle shaking hands with different ones, I went up to the stranger and said, 'I guess I'll have to make myself acquainted with you. T.T. Hendricks is my name.' And the stranger looked at me and said pleasantly, 'My name is Wonderful.' This struck me kind of forcibly," he said, as I mused, "Wonderful. Who can this man be?" He followed Brother Joseph down the aisle. And when he got to the front of the building, he raised his right hand and laid it on Joseph's shoulder. And then he turned to me and said, "This is the true prophet of God." He continued, "Do you see that over there?" Pointing on the east side of our building, where there was a rock about 3/4 of a square foot. The rock was rough in places, but in the center of the rock was resting a piece of white marble. A square piece placed in the center of the rock. He asked, "Do you see that?" And I said, "Yes, sir." Then he said, "That piece of white marble resting in the head of the rock is the reorganized church. of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It shall never be moved. That's the only known testimony that I'm aware of that Jesus was called Wonderful. But in Isaiah, he said he was also called a counselor. You know, a counselor is any person who gives advice, especially who gives advice in relation to a question in the law. In the same chapter in Luke, the second chapter that I read from, in verse 42, it says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom to the feast. And when they were, had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not that he tarried, but they, supposing him have to be in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among his kindred and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and they were hearing him and asking him questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers." Even at 12 years old, Jesus knew the law. In the fourth chapter of Matthew, it says, "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they should be made bread. But Jesus answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then Jesus was taken up into the holy city, and the Spirit setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil came unto him and said, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again Jesus was in the Spirit, and it taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And the devil came unto him again and said, All these things I will give unto thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then Jesus said unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Jesus knew the law. He could give the advice to those that come to him in regards to the law. That's why it's so important to study, that we understand the law, that we know how to apply the law, that we know how to live by the law. But the law all pointed towards Jesus. That's why the Jews missed their mark. They followed the letter of the law, but they missed the intent in which it was given, to lead them to Jesus. In Matthew, the 12th chapter, it says, At the time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw them, they said unto them, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priest? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath, and ye say that ye are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. They did not understand the intent of the law, only the letter. And I wonder if sometimes we get that way. And I'll just let that go there. We won't belabor that point. In that scripture in Isaiah, he was also called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. In John, the first chapter, it says, In the beginning was the gospel preached through the Son, and the gospel was the Word, and the Word was with the Son, and the Son was with God, and the Son was of God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. Jesus knows us each very personally. He knows our wants and our needs. He hears our prayers and knows our thoughts. And we cannot hide from him. He is Almighty God. In Ether, the first chapter says, I am the same that leadeth men to all good. He that will not believe my words will not believe me that I am. And he that will not believe me will not believe the Father who hath sent me. For behold, I am the Father. I am the light and the life and the truth of the world. In John, the 14th chapter, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father. It sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Jesus is part of the Godhead, co-creator. We look to Jesus for all our hopes, our dreams, and our joys, to be that comforter, to strengthen us, to abide with us, to follow, to lead us. He's given us that Holy Ghost to be that abiding comforter, to bear witness of Jesus and the Father. In that same scripture, though, Jesus was called the Prince of Peace as well. I thought this kind of strange because the scripture that first came to my mind when I thought the Prince of Peace was in Matthew 10. It says, Think not that I've come to send peace on earth. I've come not to send peace, but a sword. I thought, how did the Prince of Peace say that he's brought us a sword? Well, the next few verses of that same chapter explain it. He says, He who loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. You know, we understand the peace his Spirit gives us in times of trouble. When we lay that burden at his feet and be assured that he will see us through the hard times as well as the good. We know his promises are sure when we are subject our wills to his will. And he may not always take that burden immediately away from us, but he will help us to endure and overcome it. And he always gives us the assurance of that peace of his good Spirit. I hope each one of us have felt that one time or another in our lives. It makes us feel calm. It makes us feel that we know that we're not alone in that situation. We know that whatever happens, everything will be all right. I can't imagine my life without a relationship with Jesus, what I would be doing, where I would be, where I would be going. You know, I see people all the time stressing out over situations, and I do from time to time too. I'm not perfect by any means, but when I see it in other people, it helps me realize that I have a Savior who loves me, and he cares for me, and he's always there when I call on him to help me, and you as well. He's a personal Savior. He's not some idol, even in our minds. But he'll stand beside us, he'll walk with us, he'll guide us and direct us because he loves us, because he helped create us, because he came and lived and died for us. Now, for many of us, as we talked a little bit earlier, you know, we had different decisions and different things that contributed to those decisions on why we've named our children the names that we've given them. But Jesus was given to Joseph. Maybe some of you have had that experience. Maybe you've had a dream or a spiritual experience where the Lord told you what to call your child. In the second chapter of Matthew, it says, Now it is written, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. After his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a vision, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now Jesus means Jehovah saves. And Jesus Christ means Jehovah saves the anointed. And when we've made that baptismal covenant in the waters and had hands laid upon us, we were anointed with that Holy Ghost. And when When Jesus was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and John saw, and lo, the heavens were open on him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, he heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." There's a name attributed to Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, the only beloved Son. You know, Creator, as we've already mentioned, is a name or a title we associate with Jesus. We know that he was in the beginning with God. God said, "Let us make man in our image." And John, we already read, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made which was made. We sing a hymn in the gray hymnal. I'm sure it's in the purple one, but I'm not familiar with the number in the gray hymnal. It's number 7. It says, "He formed those stars, those heavenly flames. He counts their numbers and calls their names. His wisdom's vast and knows no bound, a deep where all our thoughts are drowned. He makes the grass the hills adorn and clothes the smiling fields with corn. The beasts with food his hands supply, and the young ravens when they cry." And when Jesus, we recognize that he's concerned about the least of these of his creation, we should know that he's concerned about us as well. He was the Son of God. For God declared that when he was baptized, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." He was the Son of Man because he was born of the flesh. In Matthew the 13th chapter, it's even attributed to Jesus. And the question, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brother and James, Joseph, if I pronounce that right, Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us?" He was called the Holy One of Israel. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of all the whole earth, shall he be called. So there's a couple more names. We recognize him as our Redeemer. We already read in John again, he was called the Word. We recognize him as the Savior. You know, I thought it was interesting. I looked up in my dictionary, in a modern dictionary of Savior, and the definitions were a little bit different. But I'm going to read the one that I think applies. Because this is what the dictionary says, and this is why I actually want to read it, because I was surprised that this is what they said. Properly applied only to Jesus, who has opened the way to everlasting salvation. In the 4th chapter of John, we read, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." I thought, now you go home and look in a modern dictionary and you're not going to get that definition there. In Alma, the 8th chapter says, "And he shall come into the world to redeem his people, and he shall take upon him the transgression of those who believe on his name. And these are they that shall have eternal life, and salvation cometh to none else." And probably because of lack of time, I won't read the rest of them, but we know him as our advocate, our mediator, the bridegroom, the Messiah, a shepherd, the lamb. He's referred to as an heir, a judge, a potentate, a prophet, a physician, a preacher and a teacher, a rabbi, a master, Alpha and Omega, a Nazarene, a servant, the Lord of hosts, the light and the life of the world, the bright and the morning star. He's known as a king, a high priest. I think I mentioned the only begotten son. He's mentioned as a cornerstone. Why is the name of Jesus so important to us? Or why should it be so important to us? Why should we give him our attention and our devotion? In Mosiah, the 3rd chapter, 11th verse says, "There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that ye should take upon you the name of Christ. All you that have entered into the covenant with God, that ye should be obedient unto the end of your lives. We have taken upon us his name in the waters of baptism, and so we are representatives of him In the second Nephi, in the 13th chapters, and says, Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way nor name given under heaven whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. Now we should let his image be engraven into our countenances. That when we go out into the world, to the school, to the work, to wherever we find ourselves, that we reflect his image to those we come in contact with. Because we have, regardless of what other title or name that we're known by, we should be known as Christians. Because we've taken upon us his name when we've made that covenant with him. I want to close with the reading of this scripture from Jude, verses 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Now we too should be looking forward to the consolation of Israel. For we are oppressed. We are downtrodden. We are suffering for many different reasons. And we should look to Jesus to relieve us of those pains and then those anxieties. So I'll trust him, or trust you, to his care and keeping this day. And I hope that as we depart from here, and we go our separate ways to our homes or wherever, that we'll remember Jesus in all of our thoughts and all of our actions and all the things that we would do and say, that we might be his representatives to those we come in contact with. You know, I meant to mention earlier at the beginning, I can't believe it's been 3 years. You know, we went from the garage branch to a smaller room of this, to a larger room of this. Next year I'm going to expect a building somewhere. I don't know. What a marvelous testimony of how the Spirit of the Lord has worked with this group. And I want to ask in the interest of your prayers, because you've been together now for 3 years, and most of you have been together longer than that, I realize that, but in this setting, we've started a branch in Warrensburg. It has about 8 members. Unfortunately, I've been asked to be the interim pastorate until we can either gather or grow or hunt or fish for someone that will take that place. And believe me, I'm on my knees praying for that. But they're starting out just like you. And I've seen what a blessing in the growth that's come from this branch. And I would like to see the same from them. So if you keep those people in your prayers once in a while, I'd appreciate it, that they might experience the same spiritual as well as physical growth that you have received here. And just lift them up once in a while and pray for them, I'd ask. It's good to be with you folks. I enjoy visiting with you folks. You're my brothers and sisters. I love you very much. And may God bless you and keep you is my prayer.
Thank you, Tim. In closing, would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 479, Stand Up for Jesus.
Stand
up.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead. Till every foe is vanquished.
Graciously and Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for your blessings this morning. We thank you for Brother Tim to be here to share the gospel, and also in celebration of our third year of being church family. And we do pray that you be with his family in Warrensburg as they continue, as they grow, as we have, and we just pray that your spirit is with them, as with us, and all the saints that seek thee out. Be with each one of us as we go our ways this day, and we thank you for your blessings for the rest of this day. For these things we do ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.